All right, this is one of those great verses in Romans chapter 4 that is in that context of faith and what faith brings to us, and you know, in the context of Abraham, and it speaks in verse 16, we'll pick it up there. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. You know, you're everywhere reminded in the church epistles that everything that we have is by God's grace. And in order for things to be by God's grace, the only thing He requires of us is to have faith in Him, to have trust and confidence in Him. And that's what indicates that it's all by God's favor. You know, it's nothing that we earn. It's just He states something that He is going to do, and we believe it. And that's grace. That's God's unmerited favor. It's of no work of ours. He just makes the statement, He makes the promise, and all we're required to do is just believe what He says. And that was what happened with Abraham. It says, but to those also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You know, Abraham was presented something by God that was had nothing to do with him. You know, he was promised a promise, a great promise, to be the father of many nations, even when he was too old to do it. His wife was barren. Had nothing to do with him. Had everything to do with his response to that promise of God. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know, when God looked at Abraham and said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, and he changed his name to call him father of a multitude, Abraham, father of a multitude. You know, before his name was Abram, which meant exalted father. But he changed. He said, you are, I see your heart, and out of you I'm going to, you know, create a great nation. So you're going to be the father of a multitude. And so he changed his name even before it had come to pass. He said, I'm going to call you the father of many nations. So every time someone said, what's your name? Abraham had to respond and say, Abraham, I'm the father of many nations. Oh, but your wife's barren. Well, I'm the father of many nations. That's who I am. Because that's what God has called me. That's what God has called me, even before it's happened. You know, which is that great statement there. He calls those things which are not as though they already were. You know, that's why when we look at the promises of God to us, we can view them the same way God does. That's why He calls us more than conquerors in every situation. Well, have we overcome everything? Not maybe not, but He calls those things that aren't as though they already are. You are, as far as God's concerned, righteous before Him, more than a conqueror before Him, worthy of all the blessings of God. That's why it says in Ephesians, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. As many spiritual blessings as are now and as are yet to come, He has blessed us with. Because God can do that. God can call those things which are not as though they were, because He's God. And when He looked at Abraham and said, you're the father of many nations, no circumstance, no condition took priority over that statement of God, over that promise. Nothing could supersede it. Nothing could circumvent it. Because once God makes that statement, once God makes that promise, then it is. It's not something that's going to happen. It is. It is now. So that's what faith really is. And that's why Abraham's example is so tremendous. Because verse 18 continues, it says, who against hope believed in hope You know, it's like this is a hopeless thing for him to expect to have any children at his age. You're crazy to hope for that. And yet, because of the promise of God, he could hope that it would come to pass. And he could believe that it would come to pass, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. By who? By people?
By God.
By God, right, by God. It was spoken by God, so he could have confidence in that. So shall thy seed be. Like the multitude, like the sand of the seashore, like the stars in the sky. That's your seed. And being not, verse 19 says, weak in faith. You know, he wasn't weak in his faith. He wasn't rendered weak in faith, but he considered, it says he considered not his own body now dead, and that reads the negative, but really the text reads there is no negative there. He did consider his body. He considered the circumstances. He considered that I can't do this. I'm too old for this. My wife is barren. This is impossible for me, but it's not impossible for God. And that's why Abraham saw such great results. See? That's why he could see the promise of God come to pass, because he realized that when he was about 100 years old, the deadness of Sarah's womb made it impossible for them to bring this kind of a promise to pass. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, verse 20 says. See, it's unbelief that causes people to stumble, causes people to be weak. But when we have faith in God's promises, when we have confidence in those promises, then we can walk uprightly. We don't stagger around. But we can be strong in faith. See, it's faith that brings great strength to our lives, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every category. When we have faith in God's promises, in what God has said, not what people say, but what has been spoken by God about us and what we have, when we have confidence in that, there's great strength. There's great strength to carry out whatever it is that we need to do. Whatever it is that's set before us. No matter what kind of obstacle there is between us and the things that we desire, the things that we are reaching for, it doesn't make a difference, because God's promised us. He's promised that he will meet our every need according to his riches and glory. That he has made us more than conquerors in every situation through him that loved us. Every situation. So I can count on that as being true. And it's having the faith in what God has promised, what God has said. And verse 21, here's really a definition of faith. Being fully persuaded. Not being almost persuaded, but being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able to perform. God's able to do it. If he made the promise, then he's able to do it. And that's what faith is. That's a definition of faith right there in verse 21. That we are fully persuaded. We're not just getting there. We are. We're fully persuaded. That's what Abraham was. That's why he didn't stagger around with unbelief, but was strong in faith. He had confidence in God. He was fully persuaded that if God said it, then he's going to be able to do it. He hasn't told me anything that I need to do. Right? All he needed to do was believe it. And respond, right? When people said, "What's your name? Who are you?" He didn't say, "Well, I'm Abram, but you know, God wants to call me Abraham." No, he just, "Well, I'm Abraham, father of many nations." So that's being fully persuaded. That's having faith. That's believing God and what He says. That He was able. And then it says, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That faith that he had in God, that being that full persuasion in his heart that whatever God had promised to him, he was able to do it. He was going to be faithful to his promise. And that he didn't have to give it another thought. Then that was accounted to him for his righteousness. You know, you're a righteous man, Abraham, because you are fully persuaded as to what God told you. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. We understand that it's by grace, because the only requirement is believing, is faith. So we understand from Abraham's example that it's the same for us. When God says that through his Son Jesus Christ, if you have faith in him, then you're saved. You'll be saved. And you'll be made righteous, just like Abraham was. And that's what we have. We believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. We believe. God raised him from the dead. So righteousness is imputed to us. It's counted to us. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. You know, we are now justified of all the things that we could have ever done wrong in our flesh. We've been justified from it. By no work of our own, just by believing that, well, that's what it says. Right? That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Why? Well, because with the mouth, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We confess Jesus Christ as our Lord. It's a confession unto salvation. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Then we are counted righteous. And we take it into the practical part of life, everyday life. We look at the promises that God has made to us. And we apply the same conviction that, yes, I am more than a conqueror. Who are you? Are you someone who's struggling? Are you someone who is failing? Are you someone who is sick, defeated, downtrodden, oppressed? Or are you that Son of God who is righteous, who is more than a conqueror in every situation, who has Christ in you, the ability, the power, the authority to walk as a son or a daughter of the Most High God? If we have full persuasion as to who God says we are, then we will see these things manifest in our lives. It's that simple. And it all starts, between the ears, what we entertain in our minds. That's why, you know, that one verse of Scripture, I think it's in Corinthians, it says to lead every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Well, what is it that I need? I don't know if I can accomplish it. Well, God says He's supplied my every need according to His riches and glory. Oh, okay. Every thought. Well, this is there's a tough road coming up. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can handle it. Well, wait a minute. God says you have His strength. You have Him standing before you. You have Him on your right side, on your left side, behind you. You know, He is guiding your steps. That's what the promises are. You know, God promises, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, why would He do that? He's purchased you with a price, right? Why would He leave you? God's not like us. He doesn't just purchase things and then stick them in a corner and never look at them again. He purchased us. He purchased each one of us. You know, and so He cares about us. So we can expect that and we can anticipate that. It's just a question of, okay, do we right now, in whatever it is that's before us, choose to have confidence in God and be fully persuaded that what He has promised He's able to perform, just like Abraham did? Or are we going to go about it, you know, with feeling like, well, this is going to be hard and I got to do all this work? Well, yeah, you do the work, but what you cannot do, God will do. God will bring you up and over. God will exalt you, it says. You know, you think of things in the Old Testament. You know, Joseph was a great example of how, you know, he continued to trust God. In a pretty rough, crummy situation, he trusted God, and God brought him up and out of it. It took a little time, but he did. So we have to just continue to be faithful in our confidence towards God, remembering that He's the one who calls things that are not yet as though they were. Because if God's promised it, it's a done deal. And, you know, to remind ourselves of that every day, to remember that, okay, you know, God's got this. You know, I can't, but God can. God's got this. I'm just going to move ahead. I'm going to move forward expecting God to do great things for me. Because He's promised them. You know, it's like what Jesus Christ said. Look, if you have faith, you know, you can ask whatever it is you want to ask. And believing, you know that you have received it. So, believe God. Just believe God. Don't believe in your own abilities. We all have great abilities in some areas, not so much ability in other areas. We all have those things in our flesh. But where we fall short in our flesh, we have our Heavenly Father to carry us through. We always will be able to trust and count on Him. Doesn't mean that we're lazy. It's kind of like what it says in Romans, you know, shall we sin and let grace abound? You know, no, that's not the idea. The idea is understanding that God wants to favor you, so do your best, and God will do the rest. Because He wants to favor you. But remember, let God do the things that He can do, and that you can't do. Let Him do His part. We do our part. We pray, we believe, and we expect to see great things. You know? The world wants you to think that you're all on your own and you just got to go with the flow. You know? God never told His people Israel to go with the flow. He always told them to trust Him. And He would make sure that people knew the God that they served was the true God. There's many things I was reading in Joel. I think it was in Joel. Because I was reading in Acts. Yeah, it was in Joel. I think. Or was it in Micah? In Joel, in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? That's in Joel 2:17. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? See, the heathen would look at the believer and say, where is their God? If God would just let them flounder. You know? And of course, you know, in the Old Testament, it was all those things where it was a condition. God's blessing was always a condition. It was conditioned upon their believing God and their obeying, you know, really obeying what He said. You know? And so, you know, he was encouraging them, saying, look, come back to God. Joel was encouraging them, come back to God so that the heathen doesn't sit there and make fun of you. Well, who is their God? Look at what they have, nothing. But if you come back to God, God will, it says in verse 27, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. My people shall never be ashamed if they trust me, if they continue to come to me. The heathen won't be saying, who's their God? They'll know who their God is. They'll know that He is Jehovah Elohim, the Lord your God, and none else. And that's the same promise to us. God hasn't changed His mind any. You know, just because we have all these great things by grace through Jesus Christ doesn't mean that He does not want to exalt you and make sure that people know that you love the true God, that you are the son or daughter of the Most High God. He wants people to know who He is and who you are. So we continue to trust God. We continue to expect Him to do the things for us that we need Him to do and provide for us. We have to. You know, or we just go the way of the world and follow their roller coaster of ups and downs and ins and outs. You know? But we want to make sure that we keep ourselves tracking, keep our hearts tracking with God and trusting God. Because then people will know. They'll see it in our lives. They'll say, wow, he's blessed. Wow. How come you're so blessed? Everything else is going to hell in a handbasket. And you're okay. Well, because my father's pretty good to me.
Very.
You know? So that's what we can expect. Even though maybe we haven't seen it yet, we know that it is. Just like Abraham. Because that's our Father. All right? So, Father, thanks for your blessings. Thanks for continuing to back up every promise of your word. And that, Father, you have made it very simple for us that we just continue to have confidence in you, moving forward, expecting great things. Thanks, Father, for every request that we make, every specific request that we have put up to you. And Father, we can walk with great confidence knowing that you will cause those things to come to pass for us, that we will have the petitions we request of you, because we do ask you in faith. We ask you with great confidence. And Father, we're thankful for your great grace and your mercy in having blessed us so mightily. Thanks, Father, for the encouragement of your word and for continuing just to take care of our lives. In that wonderful name of Jesus Christ.